Okay. Now the recording started. It's Monday, September 16th, 2019. This is our Getting Started on the Path of Liberation webinar with Turgar instructor Edwin Kelly. And we also have Turgar facilitator Lucas Henriksen with us. And Edwin, as many of you know, has been Turgar instructor appointed by Minja Rinpoche from the beginning of Turgar, or actually before Turgar began. And Lucas is not only a Turgar facilitator, but he's sort of our lead curriculum. He works very closely with the instructors on creating and developing the curriculum for our online and live courses. So before we get started, we're going to hear a little, well, before the question and answers, we'll hear from Edwin a little bit about the path of liberation and getting started. And then we'll hear from Lucas about the guide. So welcome, Edwin. Welcome, Lucas. And welcome, everybody.
Thanks very much, Max, and hi everyone, and welcome to our webinar. I'm assuming that most of you have recently begun the Path of Liberation practice because you attended, as Max said, one of the retreats this summer where Minga Rinpoche taught on the Path of Liberation. I do see a few names on the webinar who I recognize who have probably been practicing Path of Liberation for a while, but thanks for joining us. I just wanted to begin by just saying a little bit about the Path of Liberation, maybe, you know, a 30,000 foot view. One thing that I really noticed, particularly if you're new to Tibetan Buddhism or new to Vajrayana, even though you might have come to the Path of Liberation by having attended and completed all the Joy of Living programs, taking that step into the Buddhist realm of practice can be quite a big step. And a lot of the concepts and the terms and the practices you encounter within the Buddhist path of liberation can seem complex and confusing and at times even overwhelming and difficult to wrap your brain around. So the more you kind of have a clarity about the map and where you're going and what the practices are and what their intentions are can be really helpful. There's enough confusion in our minds without adding more confusion, is what I've observed. So Lucas sort of put it quite succinctly a little earlier while I was talking to him. You know, there are really two different types of practices associated with the Path of Liberation. The first I would call method, the skillful means, and you have a choice to either do Nectar of the Path or the Nunro. And we can answer questions about either of those paths. You know, I think it's we are really, really fortunate that Minga Rinpoche wrote that beautiful succinct liturgy, the Nectar of the Path, before he went on retreat, and has now allowed us to make that the foundation for the Path of Liberation. It's very pithy, it's very poetic, beautiful, wonderful piece of prose, and it just it's filled with little pearls, gems, to be able to connect our heart, minds directly to the practice. So one of the options is to be able to practice the Nectar of the Path. Then the other option is the Nundro, which is the preliminary practices, which is more the classic tradition from within Tibetan Buddhism that goes back for centuries. It's a little bit more involved. It's certainly a lot more time consuming. And, you know, it's really your choice. It's a bigger commitment, I think, is part of what I probably most want to say. And making a decision as to which track you do really should be considered a decision, you know, based on your time and your expectations for what you can reasonably expect to be able to practice on a daily basis. And we can get more into those details a little bit later on. So the choice is either between the Nectar or the Nundro, the Nectar of the Path or the Nundro practice. But then there's the nature of mind practices that go with it too, which is the other part of the training for the mind. And they are the same, notwithstanding which one of those two choices you make. the amount of time, the types of practices, the amount of time spent, the exercises you do, the number of hours to accumulate, and so forth, are identical for both the path, the nectar of the path option and the Nundro option. And of course, we can say more about that. You know, and of course, there are four levels to the path liberation. And for those of you who either attended the practice, the retreats here at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota, or went to the Winterberg retreats in Germany this last month, you would have attended the level one and two program and got all the necessary transmissions to begin the practice. Actually, you don't need, apart from the pointing out instructions that you would need to get for levels three and four later, you've received all of the necessary empowerments, the empowerment, the Vajrasattva empowerment, what's commonly known as the Wong, the reading transmission for the Nectar of the Path and the Nundro, so you can do either either track. And the third part of the transmissions is the teachings on, you know, basically some basic teachings on how to do the practices. So those three, the Wong, the Lung, and the Tri, constitutes all the necessary transmissions you will need to get to begin the practice. And you would have received the pointing out instructions for the first part and the second part of the path of liberation. And once you complete your homework for part one and part two, then you can attend the teachings on level three and level four. So I hope that makes it clear about how the path is laid out and what transmissions you would have received. So basically, you've downloaded the full program. It's now your job is to run the program regularly and do the practice. So I think that's all I want to say at this moment, and I will pass it over to Lucas. We're very fortunate to have Lucas here today. He's the whiz when it knows to what all the nuts and bolts are of this practice. He can answer all those questions, chapter and verse. He can quote chapter and verse far better than I can. So take it away, Lucas.
All right, thank you. Well, let me just transfer the presenter to Lucas, and thank you, Edmund, for the introduction. So, Lucas, I'm going to make you the. I think you'll be able to share your screen now if you want to take a look at the guide.
Okay, can I say a few words first here?
Sure.
Yeah, so thank you, Edwin. Thank you, Max, for the introduction there in the beginning. So, yeah, those of you that have been in the one end of the European retreat since Ming Grimshe came back from retreat, you're probably familiar with me by now. And some of you from the States probably as well. I've been over a few times for the summer retreats there as well. And if you join from any other place where there are some retreats, you might not, you may or may not be familiar with who I am. But as was said here in the beginning, I work with creating these guides closely, especially with together with Cortland Dahl. So yeah, so I thought we'll go over it. We'll go over the Nectar of the Path guide step by step. And as Max said, if you had any questions, please write them in. You raise your virtual hand and try to answer those for you. So let's see, what do I click, Max? Show my screen, is that what I do?
Yes.
You see my screen here now?
Yeah. We can see yours.
Okay, so we start from page one. So, Nectar of the Path, level one. I believe all of you have received an email by now where you have the guides for Nectar of the Path and or Nundro, both levels one and two. So here it says, a guide to Nectar of the Path and the four thoughts and nature of mind. So that means that for the method side that Edwin was talking about, we will work with the four thoughts here And regarding nature of mind, we work with the first two pointing out instructions, as Ming Gramsci lays out, working with stillness, movement, and awareness, and often on our mind. So just to begin with here, we have a table of contents. This is really helpful just to get an overview of what this guide contains. So you can always go back to this page to see what the different sections are, etc. And also, please read the full guide at least once. If you do that, it's hopefully will answer a lot of your questions. But often we find a lot of questions are there maybe because one hasn't read the guide, so it's very helpful to do so. So moving on. So the first page here is a practice checklist. Begins with what to do before beginning this level. So taking refuge with a Terga Lama or another Buddhist lineage. So just to clarify this, to attend the Path of Liberation retreats 1 and 2, you're free to do that without having taken refuge. You can come to these retreats. However, if you want to start the practice and do the practices and then move on to levels 3 and 4, then taking refuge is a requirement to do so, to engage in the practices themselves. And then the next point there is to attend the transmission 1 and 2 that all of you should have done who are on this webinar, to all pass, as Ming Gramsci used to say. Then we have next section there, preparing to begin. There we have subscribed to Vajrayana Online, enroll in Nectar of the Path course. So we have a Nectar of the Path course in Vajrayana Online. That is, it's archived, so it's free for you to use and go through, and that can be a help in your practice. So Vajrayana Online, just, I believe many of you are part of that, but just as a few words on that, it's really the place that we envision both for the larger Vajrayana community, but in particular for Ming Gramsci students and the Path of Liberation students, where we can come together and continue our study and practice and connect with the community, and also have access to a lot more material and help. So if you find that helpful and have not yet subscribed, please do so. It's a lot of material on there, and we're just now starting the Bardo courses here, the first course that is in line with Ming Gramsci's new book. Moving on there, so get the Nectar of the Path practice liturgy. I believe most of you have gotten them during the retreat. If not, that should also be sent out in an email to you, a PDF so you can download, and then also to read it in this guide.
One point, Lucas, if for anybody who didn't, you know, can't find that email, this material is all available on learning.terga.org as part of the Vajrayana Online. There's a whole resource page for people doing Path Liberation, where there should be links to the practice guides, to the liturgies. Everything is there, and so if you either didn't get the email or didn't pick up a copy at the retreat, or you still need, don't feel like you've got the information you need, it's all available on the website.
Yeah, thank you, Edwin. Yeah, so there, as Edwin said, we have everything there. There's also more videos with Ming Gramsci on the particular practices and with the nature of mind instructions, etc.
There's also a video of Rinpoche actually chanting the Nectar of the Path.
Yeah. Okay, then move on down there to the last heading, completing the level. Then you see that you once you complete 100 hours of Nectar of the Path practice, following the instruction in this guide, and spend 4 days in retreat with 6+ hours of Nectar of the Path practice each day. So for the retreat days, these days do not have to happen all at once, but you can do them as you wish. You can do one day one time, and then you do another day, and so on. But it's 4 days in total. And just to mention here before moving on, there is two ways to practice here. So one is that Ming Gramsci called the grandpa-grandma style. This basically means that as you read this guide and go through it, maybe you find it's like overwhelming. It's too much. It's too detailed for your personality. If that is the case, you're free to take with you what you've gotten from the retreats, summer retreats with Mingramshe, and the information in this guide, and practice in the way that is most helpful for you. So what is important is that you complete the requirements to move on to levels 3 and 4, but you can find your own way that you find it helpful to practice. The other way then is to practice, if you find it helpful, the way we have outlined these guides and follow a more structured process, then this guide, then that is for you. So just to get that out there immediately, like by no means, if you feel like this is not your, it's not in line with who, your personality type, then there is that way of grandpa-grandma style to practice. So here we have just an introduction before you begin. Can read through that. I'm not gonna go into it short. Here we have the next part, a practice structure. So what this is, again, is a suggestion for how you can outline your practice. So we have put here a sample 30-minute practice session, how you can go about like of the path, and then also how you structure multiple sessions in a day, if you practice both morning and evening, or for the days when you are in retreat. Also, one thing to mention here, the difference may be just in terms of time on with Nectar of the Path and Nundra. So Nectar of the Path is, if you know that you have around, say, 30 minutes a day, then Nectar of the Path is a very good track to do. The Nundra track will take around 90 minutes a day, just to be able to finish the requirements, so to speak. So you can think of it in Nectar of the Path is basically, or it is 100 hours per level. The Nundra track is based more on numbers, like reciting and accumulating mantras and so on. But it takes roughly 500 hours per level. So just so you have a brief overview of the different tracks, so you know what your own situation is. And of course, our practice should be, that it's there to help us in our life, and not just that it becomes another chore or another burden to our life. So if you already know now that I don't have that amount of time, then please, go with Nectar of the Path and start out there, and let your practice be joyful. Moving on to next topic here, says topics for contemplation. It goes through here how you can divide the different hours. So basically spending 25 hours at the beginning, with spending 25 hours on contemplating precious human life, as well as practicing stillness, movement, and awareness. And this you do as you go with the Nectar of the Path liturgy. So you will chant through the whole liturgy in each practice session, but you will spend most of your time at the section of precious human life, and then at the section of nature of mind practice. And when you completed those 25 hours, then you will instead spend most of your time focused on impermanence, and again in the nature of mind section. So that should also be clear as we go through the guide when we come to the detailed instructions.
Can I jump in again, Lucas? Mm-hmm. So could just go back to that page. So the overall homework is 100 hours, and each 25 hours is broken so that half of it's on the contemplation related to each one of the four thoughts, and half of it is working with the mind training. So again, half of it's method, half of it's working with the mind. So you can see how it's laid out there, so that even though you do 25 hours of this and 25 hours of that, each 25 hours is split 50-50 between method and mind.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Edwin. So it's approximately 12 and a half hours on precious human life, and 12 and a half hours on stillness, movement, and awareness for that part.
And although Lucas has already said this, I think it bears repeating that this very detailed structure here is a guide. If you find that this is just way too tight for your personality or is not effectively supporting your practice but driving you nuts, you have our permission to mix it up. One of my favorite sayings is there are no Dharma police in Turga. You are welcome. You know, this material, a lot of effort, you know, and thanks to people like Lucas and Colin, a lot of effort went into creating this support material, but it's really designed as support. And so if it's failing to support you, then you have our permission to mess with it so that it becomes a support. I think that's really important to emphasize.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so next here on page 8. Now here begins the practice instructions. So it begins with more general instructions on how you can open up the session and so on. And then actually a heading that says general practice instructions going through the whole liturgy in general, how to practice it. And then at the middle of this page, you see it says instructions for contemplating the four thoughts. So this is where the detailed instructions begin. And here as well, please read the footnotes because it says like how you can practice the different steps, if they should be practiced consecutively, that you go through, spend an X amount of hours on the first step before you move on to the second step, etc., or if you can mix them up, etc. Of course, if you practice a grandma grandma style, you're free to do whatever you find the most helpful. But if you want to really like spend time on all the steps, this is how the guide is outlined. So you can do that to get the sense or feel a taste for all the different steps.
I think also, Lucas, it's worth mentioning that, you know, although we've created this system, you know, it's been under Mingo Rinpoche's guidance. It's really the work of Mingo Rinpoche and the Toga, you know, Toga International's staff that's helped put this all together. That in actual fact, that this really represents the tradition of how Mahamudra was delivered within the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. All of these practices are important practices that have been practiced over the years down through the lineage. So, you know, if you find that some of it is not to your liking, perhaps you could move on. But I also recommend that you, wherever you can, spend the required amount of time on each one of these practices, because even you can learn a lot from practices that, you know, you may not feel so comfortable with. That's often where the edge is or the rub is. So it's not like as though this is not something we made up. This is something that comes from the tradition. It's informed with the wisdom of the lineage. So there's method to our madness.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for pointing that out, Edwin. Yes, I definitely did not come up with this. And yes, I can just echo what Edwin just say. You know that sometimes to be more in a comfortable zone and practice there can be very helpful, but also to be sometimes in a more uncomfortable zone and practice there, that's where a lot of learning can come from. So sometimes it's good to just spend some time there and go through that and see. We might not notice like the results immediately, but later on. So then basically it goes on the same. After you spend the time there, you go on to impermanence and you have the detailed instructions and steps for how to practice with impermanence. Then karma, and then the suffering of samsara. Then after that comes the instructions for meditating on stillness, movement, and awareness, and this is then the nature of mind aspect of the path where this begins. So it's the same structure and process really here. It has different steps how to go through stillness, movement, and awareness, and the same with pointing out that all phenomena come from mind. So it's very helpful as you saw in the beginning, the way we outline it is that you first complete the hours for stillness, movement, and awareness and accompanying contemplations before moving on to all phenomena come from mind. And this is something that Mingo Rinpoche is very particular about, that he wants all his students when it comes to nature, mind, and practice to practice it as he teaches it. and in that outline and in that order. So it's just helpful to know that.
So at the risk of repeating ourselves, but I think this is really important to be clear, which is the purpose of this webinar. Each practice session, when you begin, you'll be taking something from one of the four thoughts that was in the first part of this section that Lucas just showed us, and that'll be half of the time you practice. And then you would also do an equal amount of time on the nature of mind training that's in the second part that he's now showing us now. So each session has part of the four thoughts and part of the nature of mind practice as laid out there, as Lucas is showing. So you're accumulating the time with both the method and the nature of mind training concurrently as you complete your 25 hours for each part of it, right through to the 100 hours. Yeah.
So as you see here in the sample 30-minute practice session here on page 6. There were 5 minutes for opening the chants of Nectaropath Liturgy, 10 minutes spent on the contemplating the daily topic and resting in awareness, and 10 minutes on nature of mind, and 5 minutes for dedication prayers and closing chants. So as you see there, the 10 minutes is half of your time on the contemplation and half of the time on the nature of mind. And if you do a different amount of time, try to keep them to half. It's probably more it's easier to keep track in that way with the time. Of course, there's some flexibility with that as well, depending on your day and mood and so on.
So maybe you could just go to the end, Lucas, and show some of the there's reference material. Yes, which is wonderful material to. And a lot of this is also covered in some of the programs that are done in Vajrayana online. There is a whole archive program on practice of the nectar of the path in Vajrayana online. There's also the Mahamudra programs that are on Vajrayana online. And a lot of this material is explored in significantly greater depth during those programs.
Yeah. So this is also, again, it's optional and just there to help you if you want to dive deeper into the different topics, both from traditional sources and text and more contemporary voices, and where you can focus on where you're in your practice. And as Edwin mentioned here, in Vajrayana Online, we have one course, Mahamudra, which is running live now for the second time. Which is based, the whole course is of course based on Mingrish's teachings, but the text we're using there is Moonbeams of Mahamudra, going through that text. And it's a restricted course, so one has had to receive pointing out instructions. But since you've all been to a summer retreat with Mingrish, you're all qualified to take part of that course. So that can also be really helpful in this context. And here we are getting closer to the end. Here we simply have some sample retreat schedules when you do your retreat days. So it's 6 hours, 8 hour, and 10 hour schedules. Again, it's just a sample or idea. So feel free to mix with these as you wish or come up with your own schedule.
I think it's worth noting that these schedules are very similar to what we follow at the schedule at the summer retreat, if we're in Winterberg or at St. Thomas. There's a session normally an hour and a half or an hour and a half before breakfast, two sessions between breakfast and lunch of an hour and a half, same again between lunch and dinner, and another session after dinner. So this is really based on six sessions a day, punctuated by meals and breaks. But that you should be familiar with that, having just done the summer retreats. It's essentially the same sort of daily structure.
Yes. And then the very last page is a contact page. If you find any typos or you have suggestions how we can improve the guides or anything else that you find is wrong or not accurate or anything like that, please contact us, send me an email, and we'll try to improve these guides to make them as helpful as possible for your practice.
Great. So thanks a lot, Lucas. I think probably now we need to open it up for questions.
Yes.
20 minutes left.
Yeah.
Did I unshare or do you unshare my screen, Matt?
You don't need to, you can unshare your screen. I think you've got the controls. There you go. Thank you both, Edwin, for that overview. I think we covered some of the commonly asked questions that people might have post-retreat, because there's so much going on sometimes at retreat. Then you get home and you're looking at the guides and et cetera, and how does this all work? And then Lucas, you're going through kind of section by section. It's very helpful. We've have a number of hands raised and some questions written in, and let's get to those. The first was a comment. Karen wrote that she's joining today so she can help Joy of the Living Group people who are new to the Path of Liberation in their local area. So we have actually some practice leaders who are on, who are more experienced practitioners who are helping others and trying to learn more about what's going on with the Path of Liberation this year. And then we also have a comment. This comment is by somebody who has their hand raised. So let's go to Sue, and Sue, you can ask your question live. So you're unmuted and welcome to the webinar. Sue.
Hello.
Yep, there you are.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Lucas. Nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Hello, nice Edwin. I mean, I don't know really if this fits in with what we're talking about. It perhaps goes out of the over the fence a bit. But I was wondering how I should combine the nature of mind practice with the Tibetan Kagyu Nondro practice that I'm doing at the moment. Should I use the practice to deepen my understanding of the four thoughts? I think you probably answered that actually in going through the nature of the path, because that's covered in there, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's a different practice guide for the Nundra practice.
Yes.
So yes, it's as Lucas alluded to, it's somewhat different and particularly a lot more time consuming, because the method essentially revolves around accumulations rather than time, like it is within the Nectar of the Path. And I, assuming, if you do not have a copy of the guides to level 1 and 2 for the Nundro, then you should get your hands on a copy of it.
I do have a copy actually. Yeah. Yes.
So essentially, rather the time commitments for the nature of mind practice is essentially the same as what is the nature of mind time commitments for Nectar of the Path. There is no different. In the guide, the language, the exercises, the amount of time, everything is exactly the same. So what Lucas just showed here, as you go through the four pointing outs through the entire four levels of the Path of Liberation, will be exactly the same practices for the nature of mind piece of it. So naturally, because the method, the Nundro, requires a lot more time to acquire your accumulations, you will be spending more time on the accumulations than you will be on the nature of mind practices. However, as Mingo Rinpoche I've often heard him say, you can do Nundro as shamatha, you can do Nundro as loving kindness, you can do Nundro as a nature of mind practice. It really all depends is how is my mind relating to my experience now? Is it awareness? Am I using my experience as support for my awareness? Am I engaged in a way with bodhicitta, loving kindness, compassion for all beings? As I'm doing my practice, is my primary motivation to do this so that I might attain liberation and be a benefit for all beings? Or am I doing this and just resting in the nature of my mind as I'm doing it? Whether it's mantra, whether it's visualization, whether it's prostrations, whatever the method is, you can do it. And in any given moment, you might, migrate and vacillate backwards and forwards between samatha with support or nature of mind. It's not really, I don't think there's a hard and fast rule about it. It's more, how can I adopt the understanding that this is not so much about what I'm doing, but how I'm relating, how my mind is relating to what I'm doing. That's really the key.
Yes, I'm very much with you there, Edwin, thank you. Yeah, that answers it.
So I don't know whether you had anything more to say. I didn't.
No, that's fine. That's actually fine. It helps a lot. Yeah, I think maybe I was kind of stuck, you know, stuck in the traditional pattern of what I was doing, you know, working through the Nondro. And but it does help. And I think I knew the answer, actually, to be honest.
Well, I think that's common for Nundro. You know, we get so caught up in the accumulation. You know, it's a race. It's a race to the end because it's all numbers.
We
forget about the qualitative aspect of it and get caught up in the quantitative aspect of it. And that's one of the things, one of the benefits I find from Ingrid Chase teachings. He really emphasizes the qualitative. You know.
Yes.
What is my relationship to my experience?
Yeah.
No faux pas there, was there, Lucas?
Say that again.
I didn't make any errors in what I said, did I, Lucas?
Not any major errors.
No. Oh. You correct me if I misspeak, Lucas.
No, it was really good. I think that really covers it. Yeah.
Yes, thank you both. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sue.
Thank you, Sue, for coming on today. And thank you, Edwin. Someone had written a while ago, so I think they lost the beginning of the connection, but this question, I was thinking that this grandpa-grandma style, this is for grandpas and grandmas of all ages, whether they have children or not, right? And could you explain a little bit, maybe just make a definition of what that is for people who didn't get it on the retreat from Rinpoche?
Yeah. When I've heard Mingyur Rinpoche talk about this, he directly speaks about the experience, if you've been at all in the Tibetan culture or in the Alpine cultures of Nepal, which are heavily influenced, of Nepal or Bhutan or Ladakh or Sikkim or wherever, that are heavily influenced by Tibetan Buddhism. You will notice that the villages, the people, are mostly agrarian, and a lot of the people, particularly the older generation, are illiterate. You know, they've lived a lifestyle very devoted to the Buddha Dhamma and connection to their local monastery, and probably go regularly to empowerments or you know, all sorts of practices and so forth. But they really haven't studied and don't have a lot of, you know, learning about the Buddha Dhamma and the practices. But they may have received pointing out instructions. They've certainly had basic meditation instructions. And you will see a lot of elderly people around these villages with their prayer wheels chanting Om Mani Padme Hum constantly, regardless of what they're doing. It's really quite amazing. And so this is a practice that's very simple, that doesn't require a lot of book learning, that doesn't require a lot of, you know, complicated sort of method, that is more about just resting in our true nature. And Mingyur Rinpoche just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, this is not only true for those in the Tibetan culture, that this is probably also true for a lot of us in modern culture, you know, in the West and in the East, and give us permission to actually be able to practice in that style. Yeah, he's mentioned it a little bit in passing in the last couple of years, and largely I think it's a partly acknowledging that there are a number of people that come to the Path of Liberation who encounter you know, all this wonderful support we put together that's incredibly structured, and just kind of throw their arms up in the air and kind of go, oh no, this is not for me. And so, you know, how can this be for you, because it's not meant to be a This is not meant to be a straitjacket. This is not meant to be, you know, a bunch of rules and regulations that you have to do in a particular order or way in order for the practices to be a benefit.
Yeah, thank you, Edwin. Heather wrote, she said, extremely grateful to Edwin's answer to Sue. She said, I've been having similar concern about those practices working together. And I think, Edwin, at one point you kind of put your hands up and said, it's really all about how you relate to the practices. So don't get too caught up in all these little details.
The only question you even need to ask is, how is my mind relating to my experience? Am I attached or am I unattached?
Yeah, this is all support for that.
Yes.
So just add one thing to the grandpa grandma style that might be of interest to some, to know that really, like, from a traditional perspective, what it also points towards is what is called the three excellences. So it's excellent in the beginning, excellent in the middle, and excellent at the end. So it refers to that, as Edwin said, like many of these grandpas and grandmas in rural Tibet, they are illiterate, can't read, haven't done any study, and so on. But they have refuge and bodhicitta. They have the motivation of bodhicitta. Their main practice is nature of mind. They have received pointing out instructions and recognized. So that's what they practice. And then they dedicate at the end. And that in itself, having these components, refuge and bodhicitta, nature of mind and dedication, is a complete practice in and of itself. So as Mingrumshi often points out during his teachings, there's a lot of people in Tibet that attain direct realization through this method alone without having extensive study or going into other more advanced sadhana practices or yoga practices and so on. So yeah, just to add that to the grandpa grandma style.
All right, great, thank you. Well, we have about 15 minutes left or so, and a couple hands raised and a few questions. So I'm going to go to the next caller, Mikhail. And you've had your hand raised for a while. Now you're muted on your end. So if you wanted to ask a live question, you'll need to unmute yourself. No, I think the hand was raised inadvertently. Now it's back up. There you go. Welcome.
Yes. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So I have a question that has to do with the nectar of the path. And for instance, if I begin with opening aspirations, like for 5 or 10 minutes, and then 10 more minutes with the four thoughts, and then 10 more minutes with Guru Yoga and Lama Kyano, you know, and resting or resonating with the feeling of it, and then 10 more minutes with the nature of mind, and then closing and dedication. Well, if I spend like 40 or 50 minutes doing the whole nectar of the path, including the nature of mind practice, how much of it should I count? Because I don't know if I only spend 10 minutes for the four thoughts and then 10 minutes for the nature of mind practice, but the whole is 40 minutes. I'm kind of lost in how much should I count. So
every second.
Okay.
I think so.
I mean, can you speak to it, Lucas? Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I got this question recently. I'm not sure if it's the same question you have, but there seems that sometimes there's a misunderstanding that you're spending like a longer time on each of the four thoughts, and then refuge, Nijita, and Guru Yoga. But what you do is, as we outlined it in the guide, is that you will spend most of your time on precious human life, for example, when you're just starting off. And then you will chant through the whole liturgy. So you maybe spend like 30 seconds to 1 minute on impermanence, 30 seconds to 1 minute on karma, etc., etc., till you reach the nature of mind section, and that's where you spend then another chunk of time, and then you do the dedications. So it's not that you spend like 10 minutes on precious human life and then 10 minutes on impermanence and then 10 minutes on karma, etc. But does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense, but my question is that in my practice I tend to stay a little bit longer in the Guru Yoga section. So, and I don't know if that counts for the whole practice time, or if I should only count the time dedicated to the four thoughts and the nature of mind practice.
So the intention is that from the moment you sit down and you start your practice until you end that session with dedication, that the entire session is meant to count towards the 100 hours. And the practice guide is really just a structure for how you can carve that up. So none of your practice should be discounted or discarded in some way. I think it's a conscious choice on your behalf if you want to tarry longer on Guru Yoga. You know, that's perfectly fine. I think you just need to be conscious to not do that at the,
not to practice the nature of mind.
Yes, exactly. Now you can, you know, I would recommend to you that you practice Guru Yoga and infuse it with nature of mind. You know, that's exactly what Rinpoche is asking us to do. So, you know, it's not that, Rinpoche really wants us to spend as much time as we can on all these various elements, because they're really, you know, they're in there for a very important reason in terms of, you know, the path of purification and accumulation of wisdom and merit. And if we discount any of them or disregard any of them or skip over some of it, then I think we're shortchanging ourselves on some level. So, you know, if you're totally into Guru Yoga, you know, you will get to Guru Yoga, but it's not until the fourth part of Nectar of the Path. We'll spend a lot more time on that later down the track. We all have different personalities. We all have preferences and proclivities, and I think it's perfectly fine to indulge them, but don't do it at the expense of making enough time to look at other important aspects of the practice.
Okay, thank you, Edwin, and thank you, Lucas.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
And let's see, we had a hand raised, and it. Oh, hand went down. Okay. Sometimes it happens. Maybe you answered the person's question previously. I want to read one from Helen, who writes, what do you think about starting with Nectar of the Path and then switch to Nundro practice when more time is available, and that without finishing the Nectar of the Path?
Well, it's interesting because the nature mind training part of either track are identical. So whatever time you have spent on the four thoughts or movement, stillness, awareness, or all appearances come from the mind, the nature of mind part of it, you know, you can take with you. You won't have to redo that again when you get to the Nundro practice, but you will then have to spend the time on the accumulations of additional time on the accumulation of the method for the Nundro. So, you know, that's just the reality of it, and it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, just to add to that, something I found really helpful in my own practice is to really try to get away from you viewing my meditation practice as a checklist, you know, something to tick off, you know. It's like, because of course it's not about like completing the hours, how many hours you've done. It's like a constant practice. It's a lifelong practice of working with our minds and these precious teachings that we receive. And because it can be like that, of course, when you see like, oh, these guys have to do only 100 hours and I need to do 500 hours. Why? You know, but it's really like if you have that amount of time and can spend that time to really to practice, you know, and work with your mind, it's really helpful and beneficial. So maybe I have found it very helpful for myself to start to view it more in that light, not just like, oh, I take my 25 hours, that is done, what's next?
And I also think it's really important, we touched on this at the beginning a couple, that you really take on a level of practice that you feel your lifestyle can allow you to do. Because if you get over ambitious, then you're going to set yourself up to fail. And there's nothing worse than having taken on commitments that you then cannot keep up with and be totally kind of judging yourself, putting yourself down because you're a failure. Far better to start simpler and take on a commitment that you can more easily satisfy and feel the benefit of the accomplishment of what you've taken on than to set yourself up to fail. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and maybe just add one other thing to that. I mean, we also have people, and there are some that don't have that much time that we recommend for Nundro. but they really feel in their hearts that that's what they want to do, even if they only have like 30 minutes a day. And then, of course, if that's what you feel and that's where your heart is, that's what you should do. And you have the knowledge just that it will take longer, of course, to finish. But again, it's not about just finishing. It's about what happens away. So yeah, you and of course the only one who knows that is yourself. It's like no one else, like me and Edwin or anyone else, can't tell you what you should do.
Helen writes, thank you. So thank you both. You have another. No hands raised. I've got a written-in question from Peter. Peter writes, I'm following Nectar of the Path. I did begin Nundro practice locally last year, but don't have the time to continue it. I find my bit of ADHD makes it hard to dedicate even 10 minutes to one particular of the four thoughts, but tend to wander among them as they are interrelated. So first, is that okay? And second, can I ask, who or what is keeping score or count? Is it like karma or accumulation of merit, where we generate a kind of energy field that surrounds us and travels with us? Wow, great questions there.
Yeah. It's the answer, Edwin. You keep count.
I think this is an example, I think, of where if spending 12 and a half hours doing just one of the thoughts drives you nuts, you have certainly have my permission, just don't tell anybody, that you could mix it up with the other three thoughts if that works for you. This is, I think, a very clear example of what we were talking about, using these guides to make them work for you rather than having to follow the letter of the law, and with the understanding that when you finished your 100 hours, you would have spent about 12 and a half hours on each one of the thoughts. I think that's perfectly fine. The answer to the rest of your question, I'm not sure that I really know the answer, except that I understand that the method is the path of purification and the two accumulations. And so there's a way in which, as we do these practices, we're purifying our mind of obscurations, of ego clinging, of conceptual mind clinging, and just creating space and direct encounter with emptiness or the ephemeral, impermanent, transient nature of all experience as we go on. And then there's the two accumulations of merit and wisdom. I think wisdom is a little bit more easy for us to get our hands on in terms of, as I think we've all had this experience, as we follow the path, get deeper into the practices, the practices reveal an understanding in our own mind stream. The light bulbs come on from time to time. We get more distance from the difficulties of life. We are less clinging, less rigid, less structured around how we relate to our experience. Accumulation of merit is a little bit more difficult to understand. The way I kind of see it is, it's like tending a garden. You pull the weeds, you fertilize, you water. It's all about how to tend to the conditions for awakening, how to attend to the conditions that will lead to liberation. And it sort of goes hand in hand. Part of it is removing the obscurations. Part of it is creating the cause and conditions for wisdom and realization to arise. And they kind of go hand in hand. And this process goes on and on. It's one of the reasons why I've heard from a lot of people who, even come to Joy of Living and then do a lot of practice and come back and do the same program next year or 5 years later, or people who come to the Path of Liberation and go back, completed all five levels and go back to level one and two, you will hear the same teachings differently once you've been practicing for a while, all because of what's the transformation that's taken place in your mind subsequently. It's like your mind, your heart and mind is like open to the teachings on a level like it wasn't when you first heard it, all because of the practice you've done subsequently. So that's my best explanation of how it works.
Thanks, Edwin. Anything to add to that, Lucas?
Nothing to add. It was crystal clear.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Peter. Put me in the ADHD group, and I find the same thing. It's really hard. It's like trying to organize schools of fish in the ocean. I mean, they swim, sometimes you're on a particular topic and it brings you into some insight about another topic, but it's kind of, it doesn't make sense to cut it off and say, well, no, I'm not accumulating that right now. I have to stop thinking about contemplating that because it's not what I'm trying to do. So it's a little bit of a give and take there. We have a couple minutes left. I think I have a few more, couple more written questions. Can you guys stay on for a few minutes?
Yes, I'm good.
Raju has two questions. I'll read them both together in one. If I finish the four thoughts separately for about 50 hours on each before starting on this and complete these four thoughts, sorry, I'm having complete, appreciate these four thoughts are lifelong practice. Would you recommend to do this again or practice nature of mind, skipping four thoughts for either of two paths? Raju, maybe if you want to come on, it might be a little bit easier.
I think I understand.
Hold on.
Oh, I essentially understand what the question is, okay. I believe. I'm not sure, Lucas, what are we saying to people that have already, I mean, I know if you've already done Mingram, you get the discount for the Mingram.
Yeah, Mingram is clear. Like for the method aspect with the contemplations, if you have completed these aspects, you don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
Like that aspect is finished. Of course, you're free to, it never hurts to contemplate your four thoughts, but in terms of like accumulating the hours, you don't need to do that.
So like if you've already done a full mundra and you're new to Tergar's programs, Path Liberation, you don't have to do any of the method again. You just need to do the accumulation of the nature mind practice.
Yeah, correct.
A little follow-up from Raju on that, who says, also for Nectar of Path, to achieve 30 minutes, can you think of any way to split this into 2 times 15 minutes to make 30 minutes per day? Thinking the same for Nundro too. So there are some rules about this, but people want to like start their practice and, you know, go to work and then continue their practice later in the day.
I think Rinpoche, am I right, Lucas? Correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding that Rinpoche says we should do the liturgy start to finish in one sitting, at least once a day. In a second session, we can do other accumulations of the method and or the nature of mind practice, but when it comes to doing the liturgy, you should do it from start to finish once a day. Is that correct?
Yeah, so for the Nectar of the Path, you would actually always do the liturgy regardless of sessions. You go through the whole liturgy in each session. For Nundro, it's a little bit different. When you do the first session of a day, so say that you're at Vajrasattva now, you will still start from the beginning in your first session and chant through the four thoughts and refuge and bodhicitta till you come to Vajrasattva. And then you practice Vajrasattva. And if you then do a second session in the evening, you don't have to go through, start from the beginning and chant the four thoughts, but you start directly at Vajrasattva for the second session onwards. But I actually asked Mingram Rinpoche this a couple of years ago or a year ago, in my own practice, like when am I allowed to simply continue with my practice? And he was quite clear and said that as long as you like don't speak to anyone, you know, if you go up and take a break and drink some tea or walk around a little bit, that's fine. But don't talk to anyone, you know, and then you can sit down again and continue. So that's basically like when we go out in the world again, like we basically break the session, so to speak. So it's very helpful to, if you start like a formal session to conclude it with what we talked about before, like the refuge in bodhicitta, the main practice and the dedication.
Okay, and speaking of dedication, maybe this might be our last question from Eric. I don't understand the dedication too well. What are the three times?
Past, present, and future.
That was a simple one. And we have one more.
There's not much room for interpretation there.
the past relates to our karma. So, dedicating you know, part of this is as I mentioned a little earlier, is this whole path of purification. So there's a way in which we're dealing with, you know, the wheelbarrow full of karma that we're pushing around in life. That's part of what we're purifying. So to be able to dedicate to the past, you know, in a way, just, you know, you can't change the past, but you can change your present moment's relationship to your past. So that's how that's working in terms of our karma. And then the future is all about our aspiration, bodhicitta, our motivation for doing this practice and so forth. So again, in dedicating to the future, we're reconnecting to our aspiration, our motivation for the practice in a way. And I don't think I need to say anything more about the present.
Okay, and one more. I think we're run over our hour.
Really done?
Well, Danya wrote in, can you do the Nectar of Path liturgy silently if you are in a group practice or shared shrine space? And I'll add maybe in a subway or bus for that matter.
I don't know about a subway or a bus. But yes, I think it's perfectly fine to do these liturgies silently if circumstances prevent you from speaking them out loud.
Lucas, anything to add?
No, I echo that. If you can keep it over 40 decibels, it's good. But if not,
under your breath.
Okay.
Because, you know, part of the liturgy is to elicit the conceptual mind or all these concepts in the mind. So whether you're saying it out loud, I mean, there is a body, speech, mind piece to it. So having the speech part of it is really helpful. But if it's circumstances are such that prevent you from doing it, then, you know, this transformation is taking place in your mind, and conceptually whatever you're evoking in the contemplations and the practices is all transforming your mind. So it works.
Great. Thank you so much. Well, we are run out of time, and I wanted to mention that this webinar, the Getting Started on the Path of Liberation, we offer this usually in September after the summer retreats. And there's a series of webinars for Path of Liberation attendees. We're going to have in a month on October 16th, we'll have one with Edwin Amiotion on Nectar of the Path, and then we'll have one in November on Nundro and one in December on White Tara. And we'll replicate that sequence in the spring, hopefully have another webinar for Nectar of the Path and for Nundro and White Tara. So these are separate from the Vajrayana Online courses. They're just basically for Path of Liberation people, so we can check in a couple times a year with the instructors and talk about these practices. And I hope that we have an opportunity that Lucas can join us again, because I found this to be really helpful to have another perspective, somebody who works intimately with the curriculum this way, sort of, you know, giving that support to the instructors. So I want to thank you both for coming on today. And do you have any closing comments before we sign off?
No, just thank you everybody for joining us today. Thank you for your commitment to the practice, and you know, if you were not doing this practice, my job would be meaningless. So it's really rewarding to know that you know, so many people are coming to Mingo Rinpoche. That people's hearts and minds are being transformed by these practices, and I am really grateful that you've adopted this as your practice, and I wish you all the well. And yeah, please stay plugged in through Vajrayana Online or however you can, through your local community, and don't hesitate ever to contact us if you've got any questions about anything, and please join the webinars in the future as possible. You know, our primary intention is to help support you do this practice so that you can get the most out of it. So thank you.
Yeah, I completely echo all of that, and just want to say thank you everyone, and I find it tremendously inspiring, you know, as a fellow practitioner on the path, just coming together in this way, in the Targa community, and just know that there are so many people around the world now taking time in our lives, and doing this practicing both individually and together. I find it's really, really inspiring and beautiful to be on this path together. Thank you.
All right.
And thank you, Max, for piloting the ship.
Yeah, my pleasure. These are, I think, are really important webinars, and I appreciate you both coming on and sharing your knowledge and inspiration with us. And also, I want to thank everybody for joining us today and say once again, this will be posted in Vajran Online so we can listen back to it later. All right. Take care, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.